Good morning.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
Exhausted?
Uh-oh, why?
There's just a lot going on in schools. Sorry. School starts this week after Labor Day, and just there's lots going on.
Yeah, I bet.
Me. Yeah. Just me. Yeah. That's enough. And then yeah. I have all that mothering stuff to do that I don't appreciate all the time.
Right. What grade is your older one's going into college now, right?
Yeah, he starts next month at a community college, and Miles is a sophomore.
Sophomore, wow. Amazing. Yeah. You're getting up there. Yeah, you don't have much time left with them.
Have you seen the movie Brotherhood? Or Boyhood, I'm sorry, Boyhood, that they filmed over 12 years?
Patricia Arquette. I heard about that. I guess I should see that, huh?
You would really like that. And then also there's another one that was recommended for me after I liked that one on Netflix called The Fundamentals of Caring with Paul Rudd. And that is every therapist needs to see that movie. That is an amazing movie.
All right, I just wanted to send it to you. Thank you.
Okay.
Very good. Okay. Good morning, Roma. Good morning, Carol. Good morning, Janine. Good morning. Jeanette and Kimberly are here.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Martha. Martha's here. Martha's sideways, but she's here. How do you do that, Martha? You're like a Cirque du Soleil.
Saddled. We're going to be on this call for a while. I got to move around a little bit.
Okay, very good.
I'm actually putting a heating pad on my hip.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, I did Taekwondo 3 times this week.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that would do it.
Yep. So I'm just trying to nurse. I mean, I'm not injured. I'm just tender.
Mm-hmm. What level are you at with your Taekwondo?
I'm a red stripe. I'm a candidate for black belt.
Wow, that's exciting.
It is.
Good for you. When do you test for that?
April.
So in April.
I have one more belt, which is Bodan. And then I do a pretest, and then I go to Richmond, Virginia to test.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so now I'm getting kind of like all fluttery about it. I've been talking about it for a long time.
Well, hang in there and do it, because I'm a second degree black belt in Kanji Kimbo.
Well, good for you. Now, I'm not sure. How is that part of karate?
It's a mixture of karate, jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, kickboxing, and learning how to street fight.
Oh, my God. Let's not mess with these two women. Martha and Jeanette, you can have your way.
And I did it when I was pregnant with Gianna, and I stayed in it until I was 6 months pregnant, and then I dropped out and then went back after she was born to get my second degree black belt.
Wow. Amazing.
I'm impressed.
Body takes a toll, though.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
So many times, and it's like, okay, I've had enough.
Well, do you still? In Richmond, there's a 91-year-old that's still doing it. So.
Oh, my God. God bless her. Oh, jeez.
Well, what I do is I just, you know, I'm not letting anybody throw me on the ground and stuff like that. But it's real three-dimensional, and I really like it for the philosophy. You know, a lot mm-hmm. of it kind of applies to what we're learning in here because you're growing and developing and learning a way of life.
And, yeah.
And so, and then I like it because I really needed something that was short-term goals. So I'm going to be able to use what I've learned to apply to my business based on what I've learned that way.
That's great. Absolutely. Absolutely. My sister's a martial artist, and I know one of the things I asked her once, I said, have you ever had to use your martial arts in life? She says, I use it every day. So I really liked that answer, you know, is that it's really wrapped into your belief systems, you know.
I like that answer. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because like there are things like he talks to us about, like the grand master, like change your angle. Well, that's a lot of what we're doing in here is
yeah.
You're changing the way you look at things. You're backing up and going in a different direction because you're getting unstuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Good morning, everybody. So nice to see you all. And let's see. Let me just. Okay. So happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. Thank you for making this your priority to be here. Even with the holiday weekend going on, I really appreciate your doing that. So it's wonderful to have you all here. And I just want, before I start us out, and Jeanette's going to lead us in a wonderful grounding and kind of opening and centering meditation in just a minute. But before we do that, I just want to let you know that Kimberly and I and the staff, Jeanette and Chris and I were talking about how to hold all of you in between the classes. And instead of offering the four, I sent you out an email about maybe doing a four sessions in between and charging for that. And what we decided to do is instead we just want to offer you two free sessions. So we're going to offer two free sessions between now and the November training to all of you. And those dates are going to be Monday, September 23rd and Monday, October 14th. And I'll say this again at the end of our session today. They'll be Monday evening starting at 7 p.m. Central Time. And then, you know, you can figure that out for whatever time zone you're in. I've got a PowerPoint slide that'll come up to show you all of this too in a minute. But please go ahead and mark those on your calendar because we'd love to stay connected with you and have a little check-in and to keep some momentum and some growth going while we're in between classes so we don't forget and we hold and we keep thinking in this way because it's very easy. You're going to find that this consciousness can kind of recede into the background a little bit. We want to keep it lively in the forefront of your mind as you re-enter your world and your lives and your relationships. And also, it's really so important to continue to stay connected with the group consciousness, with others who are actively working on their own self-growth the way that you are. So that you're not so alone in this, in the rest of your world out there. So we want to keep normalizing this as a way of being. It's in a way, for want of a better word, it's kind of like a spiritual growth practice to be working consciously with self-responsibility and accountability and developing the principles of universal principles of forgiveness, compassion, tolerance, humbleness, you know, all of these things that we are so actively working on, consciously working on ourselves. So we're really wanting to support you all in that. So we want to offer those two free sessions in between the classes, and I'll go over those dates again at the end of our, before we part today. So Jeanette, why don't you go ahead and give us a little centering and grounding and get us launched, and then we'll jump in to our last session.
Okay, so let's just plant our feet on the ground if you can. Push every thought away or what has been on you before the class started, anything that you had to do, take care of, it's all gone. It's out the door. Close the door, and all those can be taken care of when we are finished. I want you to take a really deep breath in. I want you to hold it for 10 seconds. And blow out. Breathe in one more time. Hold it for 10 seconds. And breathe out. And if there's any place in your physical body that feels a little tension or stress, I want you to place your hand on that area. And I want you to imagine a beautiful light coming down in through the crown chakra, touching your brain. The light surrounding your brain, touching your temples, your eyes that you see, the ears that you hear, around the back of your neck. This beautiful light is surrounding your throat chakra, and it's going down through the shoulders and down through the spine, touching every organ that's in your physical body, surrounding your heart, your lungs, your stomach, your pancreas, your liver, taking away any of the feelings of tension or uncertainty. It's absorbing now into the light, down through the hips, through the thighs, down through the calves, your ankles, and all the way down through to your feet. And going past the feet and down into Mother Earth. And so now we are surrounded by the love of the earth and the love of our central self, which is the beautiful light that surrounds all of us. And know that you are safe and always will be, and you are protected and loved by many. So take another deep breath in. And just blow out. Just take a moment to be silent within yourself. And when you are finished, you may open your eyes slowly and come back into the group.
Thank you, Jeanette. That was really nice. I needed that. So thank you for leading us off. So let's just take a moment to look around, see each face, say hello. Welcome everybody and see who you're here in class with and how wonderful it is to see each person. A lot of connection has happened over these 10 weeks together. Can you believe it's been 10 weeks? So just see each person who's here with us and just look at the beauty and how you've been touched by each person in the room, in the group, in our virtual classroom, how they've touched you, certain things that they've shared, how open they've been. Just kind of noticing that, appreciating that, feeling grateful for that. And as you look at each person in the group and you see the beauty in them, try to imagine what they are seeing in you and appreciating in you. So many of us have a hard time valuing ourselves as much as we value the others. So I want you to see if you can invite that in too. Like how much, like as I look around at your faces and I see the beauty and the smiles and the warmth in your faces, I want you to see if you can notice how much you are also contributing in that regard. So we're going to be able to have a little extra time today to share about our personal experience of this series. And I'm glad about that because I want to be able to give each person a chance to contribute in that way, if you would like, to what's happened for you over the course of this virtual class, what's changed or what you've any aha moments that you've had or what it's been like for you. And, but I want to start us out with a little bit of review. So we're going to do a brief PowerPoint view over the rigid pattern. And then we're going to talk about just very briefly each pattern, but I'm also going to give you a chance to, everybody has been asking, you know, well, what pattern am I? What am I? What am I? What am I? So I'm going to give us a way to kind of do a simple self-assessment today. And again, remembering that this is not who you are. Your pattern is not who you are. It's just some of what you do, some of what your tendencies are, of what you do when you feel overwhelmed or stressed out or defensive. Okay. It's kind of our go-to coping strategy that we've used. So it'll be kind of fun to, I want you to think of it as a kind of a fun thing to do rather than a self-analysis or anything like that that would pigeonhole you too much. But before we do that, let's just do a very brief check-in. How are you? What's come up for you? Anything that you want to say about where you are right now? So let's take a couple of minutes to go around let's come back to that after we've done this check-in. And while I'm doing the share on the review, feel free to go ahead and do some sharing in the chat as well. And while we're kind of doing going through it. Okay, so here we are in our little review of the rigid pattern. And remembering that the goal is, the purpose of this pattern is to shift attention away from our internal experience and onto an external set of rules and standards in order to feel safe, stable, and secure. That was our only go-to for feeling safe and stable and secure. And Jeanette just took us through another way to feel safe and stable and secure, just through centering and grounding and focusing on breathing and so many of the skills that you've learned through this course and other courses as well that all of you have, participated in for self-growth. Being correct, finding what is incorrect, and fixing it is kind of it's a very purpose-driven, action-oriented pattern. So this pattern person is very much action-oriented. These are the people who will be workaholics, who will be, very goal-oriented, who will be very ambitious, ambition-driven. Cause of the wound, what happened in 4 to 7 years, and also another corresponding time in puberty or adolescence, where our experience of reality was negated or minimized. Our experience of our internal reality, our internal feelings, where it was negated or minimized, and external rules and performance and values were imposed in order to receive love. So not only were we negated, but we were given a system that we had to comply with if we wanted to have any experience of love. The goal is to get out of pattern and to recognize your authentic essence is more important than its form. I really should change that to more important than its form, or you could say structure or achievements. So really that's what it's about. It's that your authentic essence is way more important than any of your achievements or accomplishments. The fact that you came home with straight A's is not as important as how you felt about it. I have a client that, she brought home a report card of straight A's, and her parents said to her, "Don't feel so big about yourself. Don't get a big head about yourself because you got all A's." Can you imagine that internal experience was then crushed for having made achievements. So there's, so the struggle is between the conflict between our internal experience of our authentic essence and performance. So you value your inner, the goal is to value your inner experience above your performance, to soften your bound up beliefs and structure, to relax into your authentic essential self, which is, and again, take another breath and kind of, Jeanette just set us off on that good track. So just come back with another breath right now as I'm talking about it. See if you can notice you might be feeling tense already just as we talk about it. So as we talk about it, keep breathing and relaxing into your essential self and identify your self-worth for being rather than doing. Okay, so these are the goals of getting out of this pattern. The gifts are form and structure, great rhythm. They're terrific drummers. They have great timing. They're good dancers. They're good musicians. They have great spatial awareness. They could be architects. They like to work with design and beauty. They're masters of order and systems. They're great at problem solving when it comes to like complex systems. They can be good accountants. They're usually really good with numbers. They're good with finance. They have ability to be strong and focused in their attention. They're balanced. They're stable. They're centered. They have beauty. They have a love of beauty, and they like to make themselves beautiful. They're highly responsible, dependable, competent. They have great integrity. They're great secret keepers. They have good morals. So these are terrific gifts. They're very high functioning. And so if you know about the personality patterns and you're an employer and you want to hire somebody, you know, it's really helpful to know who, you don't want to put a rigid, probably as the head of your human resources, but you might want to have a rigid as your CFO. So, you know, this is really helpful to be able to know. You might want to have a merging pattern person as your human resources, head of human resources. So these are where it can be really helpful. Okay, developmental needs. There's a request. The request is, what am I feeling inside? There's a lot of confusion about their inner feelings. There's a need. I need to be able to feel my own core. I don't know how to feel my own core. So there's a need for that. And the task is to feel your authentic feelings, to learn how to feel your authentic feelings. Okay. The primary expression of their wounds is all about right or wrong, good or bad. If you're right, you're good. Very simple. If you're right, you're good. You're a good boy. You're a good girl. If you do things the right way, if you put the toys away in the proper way, if you stack them neatly in your closet, then you're a good boy. If you like, if you've had a creative, you know, burst of energy and you decided to make a fort in your room and you needed all your clothes to do it, you learned that was wrong and bad. Mommy came in and told you you were wrong and you were bad. She didn't come in and go, oh, look how creative you are. She said, you are a bad child for having done that. And so therefore, criticism, when we become a highly critical parent as a result, that's our way of caring. That's the way that we have learned to express our caring. So oftentimes the parents, we will have rigid parents will make good rigid children. Or they could make rebellious children. It's not a rule, but it's oftentimes a common denominator.
Laura?
Yeah.
Can you make it a full screen? Because we're only seeing part of it.
Oh, yes. Thank you for that. I totally forgot to do that.
Angelica sent a message.
Yes. Let me do that. One second. Okay, is that better? Okay, so here we go. Okay, so energy expressions. We will unconsciously, this is not intentional, disconnected from our authentic feelings. If I'm a rigid, I'm going to be really identified with this. I'm not even going to know that I actually feel this way underneath that mask. I'm not even going to know that. But this person who I'm interacting with will feel like suspicious. Well, they'll feel that there's a conflict over here. They'll feel the energy, especially if this is a sensitive person. They're going to feel that there's something incongruous over here. There's something wrong with this picture. They'll feel it. But I might not even feel it because I'm stuck in my own rigid structure. I may not even feel my own mask. So I'll just smile because I know I'm supposed to and I know I should, but underneath this, I'm really unhappy. And I'm going to keep myself super busy with workaholism so that I don't even know that I feel my own unhappiness. I won't even notice that I'm depressed because I won't have time to feel depressed. I'll be too busy being achieving to know that, to notice that I'm depressed. Okay, so my persona is my authentic self. Therefore, if I get criticized, if I don't do something perfectly and I get criticized, I'll be devastated because you have just told me that my mask self isn't perfect, that I have failed in everything that I identify with as myself is around achievement. And if I don't achieve well, then I'm absolutely devastated. And no negative feelings are allowed, so I'm really in a dilemma. So I might put up, if I don't get the job raise, I might put up a good front, but inside I might notice that I'm going to just work three times harder so I can be even better until I turn into an OCD, obsessive compulsive. Okay, so there's the message is I have to be perfect, I have to be successful, and I have to be sexy or I'm worthless. So there's oftentimes a strong, in that perfectionism, a strong identification with my persona as, and a use of my sexuality to, as a presentation of myself. But I will be pretty disconnected usually from my ability to have, I might be able to have terrific orgasms, but I won't be able to necessarily join my heart or my emotions with my sexual energy. So my sexual energy is going to be pretty compartmentalized, and therefore I'm poised efficiently to be able to have affairs or to do things like that because my relationships will be rather superficial and, just superficial. Okay, so let's go on from here. Adult defensive actions reference the rules. There is only one right way to do it, and it's my job to know exactly what that one right way is. You know, the good news about this is that I have a certain friend that I always call when I have a question about, you know, what would be the most integrity choice here or the most appropriate way to do something or, you know, how to manage this. Because I trust their judgment more than my own with regards to that. And I love that they are so in tune with that. And I'm learning from that person about how to increase my own integrity because this is really part of their gifts is that integrity. But it also can be very restrictive and very limiting if there is only one right way. Order equals safety. This is how they make themselves feel emotionally safe because chaos and spontaneity were punished. And so anything that remotely resembles chaos or disarray, they're going to want to move away from because they were punished for that. There's a deep disconnection from that feeling because it's too scary. It's terrifying actually to feel that. And terror is an underlying leaving pattern wound also. So there's oftentimes an overlay over the leaving pattern. Mistakes must be punished. This was their experience growing up, that their mistakes were punished. And there's an identification with that you are what you do, not your essential self. And only appropriate feelings are acceptable. Okay, so our goal is to identify and feel safe feeling my authentic feelings and being able to know where and when it's appropriate to be able to share or express those authentic feelings. Not everybody can be a holder of your authentic feelings. So we have to be able to identify who we can share that with and who we can't. Okay, so healing the rigid pattern. We want to feel our feelings. This is not easy. You know, we might say to a client, oh, just feel your feelings about it. Well, they can't even find them. They don't even know where they live in their body. So it takes them some time to be able to like actually drop inward. And there will often be some resistance to that. They'll go into talking, or they'll go into intellectualization or theorizing about feelings, or continuing to try to grab back onto a solution rather than being in the process of the unknown. And then what'll usually come up is with the invitation to drop inward will be like, well, you know, okay, I tried that. I can't do it. Or, yeah, I did it. And so all I feel is anger and resentment. And so we're in really delicate territory when we're directing the person with this wounding to drop inward. You're going to find some natural knee-jerk resistance show up around that invitation because it feels messy and it feels out of control and it feels unknown. And they're going to feel terrified that they're going to get judged or ostracized or reprimanded or something. If they don't have a solution, they're going to feel extremely vulnerable with you if you invite them into that territory, and that's going to feel dangerous to them. So this is where we're in really tender territory when we're working with adults who have this pattern. And play and being safe to play while we're learning is really one of the wonderful solutions, which you guys did in your homework, which was just great to see some of what came up for you in the invitation to play and be messy in your homework. Okay, so relax, let go, get flexible, trust the perfection in the higher order. So, you know, one of the things that the rigid can relate to is order and beauty in a higher spiritual realm. And so there can be a way that they can begin to explore safe identification with something that they are a part of that is higher than them, greater than them, bigger than them. And this will be, especially if there's beauty involved in it. I just love this picture of this Milky Way here and how gorgeous it is. And yet there's an order to the chaos of it as well. Okay, so we're going to do a little something right now. I want you to choose one from this list and choose whichever one first popped into your mind, which is your predominant defensive pattern. Ungrounded, confused, and scattered. When you get defensive or when you get overwhelmed, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel irritated, do you get ungrounded, confused, scattered? Do you get needy? Do you fear confrontation? Are you indirect? Do you get resistant, stubborn, or indecisive? Do you get controlling, dominating, or manipulative? Are you competitive, righteous, or tense? So just write down one of those. You only get to choose one. Whichever one came to mind first is probably the one that you should jot down. Now, choose your predominant gift. Are you creative, flexible, perceptive? Are you sensitive, emotional, generous? Are you tolerant, patient, compassionate? Energetic, a fearless leader, spontaneous, and have great integrity, you're dependable and balanced. What are your greatest gifts? If you had to choose one, choose only one and write those down. Okay, everybody got it? Now, let's look at each one of these for a minute. And don't worry about copying these slides. You're going to get a copy of this PowerPoint for yourself. But let's just take a look at each of these now. If you're predominantly, especially want to talk about this with regards to your clients, because those of you who have practices, you're going to be listening for these kinds of comments or these kinds of beliefs that show up with your clients. So I want you just to, like I say, don't worry about writing them down. You're going to get all of this. I want you to just think for a minute and just be with this for a minute. And if you want to put in the chat, what do you identify with for yourself? But these will be some of the statements you might hear from your clients. I prefer animals to people. I don't trust anyone. I don't trust people. So you'll hear that word trust, mistrust probably a lot. I'd rather be by myself. I'd rather take a vacation. I had a client who used to tell me all the time, she was married, she had two kids, they were a very athletic family. They would go on biking trips all the time. But when it came time for her to like take a vacation, she just wanted to go by herself. She did not want to have anything to do with her family. For her, a vacation was going trekking alone on a mountain with a backpack and a tent. That was her. She would much rather do that by herself. She was a classic leaving pattern person. This is too much for me might be one of the sentences you hear, one of the statements you hear a lot. And I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with it. I'm not going to talk about it. Does anyone have any other statements you want to, defense statements that come to mind around the leaving pattern? Just holler them out if you do. Take yourself off mute and holler them out if you have any other thoughts.
I'm just going to check out.
Check out? I'm sorry, who was that? Oh, Christina? Yeah.
I'm just going to check out.
Oh, you're going to I'm just going to check out. Okay. I thought you were being literal there. So, okay, that's a statement. I like that one. I'm just going to check out. Okay, good. Thank you.
Is this where someone would name call or say that's stupid or ridiculous?
Yeah, I think that fits. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. Because there's an arrogance in this defense, right? That's stupid. That's ridiculous. I'm gonna come out of this just so I can add these because they're really good. That's ridiculous. I'm gonna check out. Oops.
You know I'm right.
Oh, that's a good one. You know I'm right. Okay. Good. Okay, so these are some comments that you're going to be paying attention to that you might hear your clients say. You go, okay, this is the leaving pattern that we're dealing with.
They'll use the word think. I think that, or it makes sense because they're very much in the brain.
I think. That's right. That makes sense. That's right. They're very much in their heads. Yeah. Good, good, good. Very, very intellectualizing. Very much intellectualizing. Okay, let's look at some of the gift statements that we hear. It's beautiful. We are all one. Everything is perfect. I am being guided. There's a reason for everything. So there's a lot of spiritual, lofty, you know, higher power relationship statements here. What else could we add to the gift statements? Anybody got another one that you would hear your clients say, or that you yourself would say in this gift? Okay, nothing's percolating at the moment. That's okay. We can keep...
everything happens in perfect timing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, somebody else had one?
I have a friend that's does like a little hand motion and do everything. She says infinite love and gratitude.
Oh.
And it's almost annoying because it's like bypassing sometimes.
Right. And that is true. It's a classic. That's a classic leaving pattern statement. Infinite love and gratitude. And it's beautiful, right? But it's interesting too, because some of these can also be used as defense statements, right?
Right. If sometimes it feels inappropriate when someone
says that. So some of these statements can be defense statements, and some of these can be gift statements. Right. So it's really that this is the language you're going to hear that's going to help you to know and to notice. Am I using this now as a defense or as a gift? Right. Let's look at the merging pattern defense statements. It's not enough. This is a classic. Nothing's ever enough. You know. There's not enough food, there's not enough love, there's not enough attention, there's not enough money. There's not enough money is a very, let me put that one down. That's a big one for this pattern. There's not enough money. But it could be anything, right? It could be, I can't, this is too hard, I'm tired, I always give the most. Nobody gives as much as I do. That could be emotional giving. It could be, you know, lots of ways of giving. There's not enough money.
It always turns out this way.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. It always turns out this way.
And these are the people that are not our ideal clients.
Oh, every client is your ideal client. That might be a defense statement you would hear them say, is this is not my ideal client. These are their defenses, right? So we're just going to be, but the great news is you're going to be armed with how to respond to that instead of having to go away from that kind of client. So, but you're right, Martha, that that's what it evokes. Like, oh, you're not my ideal client. I want to get away from you. I can't manage this. So this is what we're changing here, is we really want to be armed to be able to manage just about anything that shows up. Okay, the gift statements. I'm here for you. There's some beautiful gifts to this. I'm here for you. I understand your pain. I'm happy to help. You're not alone. Do you need a hug? Right? These are very nurturing, loving statements. Anything else that we want to add to these gift statements?
Call me if you need anything.
Yeah.
Call me if I can help.
Yeah. I'm going to put if you need anything, because I'm happy to help. If you need anything. Yeah.
One of my favorite sayings is better together.
Oh, great. That's great. Better together. That's a great merging pattern gift, right?
What about I feel your pain?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Could be also for the endurer also. All right, let's go to the enduring pattern. Defense statements, no. Remember there, answer to everything first is no. All right, I have to do everything is another one. I don't have a choice is another one. I'm not going to participate. I don't know. Right? What do you want for dinner? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. How do you feel? I don't know. Anybody want to add anything else to an enduring pattern defense statement?
Well, I changed my mind.
I changed my mind, right. Well, I'm not sure about that one because they usually don't know their own mind. How about you changed your mind?
I'm trying to figure out what they would say when, like, I have this friend who's an enduring pattern, and she'll agree to do something in the moment, but then after a while, she feels like it's a demand, and so then she refuses to do what she committed to do, and I'm trying to think of, they actually don't say much of anything. They just don't do it.
Right. That's right. They're quiet. They'll be quiet.
Yeah.
Silent treatment. We can just put the silent treatment.
Yeah.
That's a classic one. Okay, let's look at their gifts. The gift statements that you'll hear. You can count on me. I've got this. I'll take care of it. This is a big one for the enduring pattern. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I know how you feel. Okay, so anybody want to add anything else to this one? The gifts. How about I'll do it for you? Okay, so all of these, remember, as we go through these, you can see how they can be gifts and or they can be wound statements. They can be a way that we hide or a way that we're really being in our gift. So they both sides can flip-flop. Let's look at the challenger defender. It's your fault. That's not good enough. I'm right. You're wrong. I'm the only grown-up in the room. I had a person I worked with for a while, and I would hear her say this so much. I'm the only grown-up in the room. I knew I couldn't trust you. Anybody want to add anything else to this one?
How about something like, I would have done it that way, or you should have done it that way?
Yeah. You should have done it. Wait, and we'll say it. You should have done it that, yeah, I guess that way.
You should have done it my way.
Oh, yeah, you should have done it my way. That's good. Yeah, that would be more appropriate. And the rigid would say that way, but the challenger defender would say my way.
That questioning of why didn't you do it? I have a friend that's always saying, why didn't you do it this way or that way? And I just said, because I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I had a way to do it.
Yeah.
This was the one that I thought.
Or it's always done this way.
Yeah.
This is the one that I thought we were on when I guess we were on the leaving pattern, and I said, you know I'm right.
Mm.
I think I put it on the leaving because I didn't realize we were, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got, yeah, I'm right, you're wrong. Okay, there's a lot of blame in this one, blame.
How about adding an exclamation point to each of them?
Oh, I think you're onto something, the aroma. yeah, you're right about that one. I'm the only grown-up in the room. So there's definitely like a very vehement energy to this one, right? So here we go. Okay. All right. Challenger defender gift statements. We're going to change the world. How about that? We are going to change the world. I have a big mission. I'm not giving up. I'm going to help you. We're going to win. You see how powerful these statements are, too? These are really beautiful gift statements. There's a, you know, a fearlessness to this. Anybody want to add anything to this list? Okay, those are strong. All right, let's go to the rigid. That's not correct. You should have done it properly. That's not appropriate. I have a client who I frequently hear them say, that wasn't appropriate. They did such and such, it wasn't appropriate. They did da-da-da, it's not appropriate. It's a very frequent use of that word. That wasn't appropriate. That choice was not appropriate. That behavior was not appropriate. You need to earn it. I only work with the best. Okay. Anybody want to add anything to this?
How about I don't know about that. Let's fix this or let's find a solution.
Yeah, let's fix this. I like that one. Let's fix this because something's not right, right? Let's fix this.
I only play to win.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Good.
I'm telling you this for your own good, or I'm...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Good. Okay, good. So we've got some good ones here. Let's look at the gift statements. This is perfect. I got it right. I love to make things beautiful. I always keep my word. I'll never tell your secret. Anything else we want to add here?
Well, I'll be there on time.
Yeah. And even we could use your statement, I only play to win as a gift statement here too.
But you know, all of these seem like it's all about like that person instead of somebody else, which is not really a gift if you're not doing it to help somebody else.
Well, I guess it depends on the activity, right? Like, you know, this is perfect. Maybe something that I did for someone else. I got it right for, you know, it could be an activity that they're doing that is engaging with somebody else. Okay. I mean, they might, right? They might feel good for having come and cleaned your house for you. I love to make things.
I should be saying if you did that, it seems like the recipient should be saying those things to that person.
Well, they might. The recipient might also say it, but I think they're also going to feel very good about themselves, right? They're going to feel like, wow. But tell me if there are other thoughts you have about gift statements for the rigid, because, you know.
You can count on me.
Yeah.
I've heard people say I'm the best.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts, Martha, about like what would be a gift statement that would have to do with someone else?
I'll have to think about
it. Okay. All right. So let's come out of this now and come back into our... Okay, so let's look at this now. So we're going to come back to the chart of what's your primary. I asked you to pick one of each. So they're in order here, right? This is the leaving pattern. This is the merging pattern. This is the enduring pattern. This is the challenger-defender pattern, and this is the rigid pattern. So just jot down what you found as your primary from just those charts. It's the same chart that you saw earlier. And then we're going to do a little sharing on that in just a minute after we finish going through this. Okay.
Can you repeat?
Yeah. So earlier on in the PowerPoint, I showed these two columns individually. Right. So just jot down. Again, just take another look at this and just jot down what you feel is your primary go-to. And then we'll do some sharing about it later on. Okay, let's look at the next thing here. So to get out of pattern, we're going to contact our core. So there are two points on the sides of the navel. Actually, you can just put your fingertips, and you can do this right now, in your navel, and just do some circular stroking in your navel. This really charges a lot of strong fire energy. And do some deep breathing as you do that. If you want, you can close your eyes. And now just come to stillness and breathe. And then let's do a little tapping on the sides of the collarbone. Let's do some tapping. And put one hand over the heart and the other hand over the belly. And breathe. Notice if your awareness is projecting out of your forehead into the computer screen. And if it is, just relax back in your chair a little bit more for a minute. Just relax back. Breathe deeply. And feel what's present. Put your feet on the floor and do a little tapping of your feet on the floor with your hands where they are. And if you can, keep your eyes closed and just extend your arms out now to the edge of your auric field. And feel with the backs of sides of your hands, the outsides of your hands, the edge of your energy bubble around you. Really feeling safe inside your energy bubble. Imagine all the way around you, 360 degrees above your head and below your feet. And whoever is making noise, if you can put your mic on mute, that would be great right now. Just feel the edge of your energy bubble, 360 degrees. Relax your arms on your lap. And now remember to remove any sensation that's within your body or in your energy bubble that does not belong to you. Just take your energy hands, scoop it out, bring it outside of your energy bubble. Move it outside of your energy bubble. And then relax your arms. And what would this experience be like if I were feeling a little more than you fill in the blank? What could this experience be like if I were feeling a little more than you fill in the blank? And invite that feeling into you. A little more, whatever that blank is. Love, hope, warmth, softness, receptivity, whatever word works for you. When you're ready, you can open your eyes. So here's the two dates again. You can jot them down and the times of when we're going to offer a free session. Monday, September 23rd, a 75-minute check-in with me, and on Monday, October 14th, with Kimberly. So please go ahead and jot down your time. We'll send you a link. We would very much appreciate if you would RSVP that you are definitely going to be there. That's very helpful to us to know that. Okay. So let's talk about how this all landed, what happened for you. I'd love to hear about your primary pattern that showed up for you just in that little bit that we did. And just we'll just go around the group now and give everybody a chance to check in about how this process has been for you in the course, about what you found out just now about your primary pattern. Anything that you would like to share. So why don't we have Carol start us out? You're still on mute, Carol.
Sorry, I was talking to myself. So I was feeling scattered, which was leaving, and I was also feeling sensitive, which was merging, and those are my two patterns. But then I was feeling like too much, and I didn't know, and so I thought that might have been a different pattern, so I was curious about that.
Well, I think I probably concur with what you've shared in class so far about your primary pattern. I think you're pretty well in touch with your primary patterns. And remember that we have different go-tos in different scenarios and different situations all the time. But your primary go-to is, probably the leaving and the merging. And, and if it's scary for you to, if it's scary for you to do direct confrontations with people, to be direct about your most vulnerable needs and things like that, that's often very much the merging pattern too.
Yeah, so. I would say I'm definitely merging and with leaving there as well.
Yeah, good. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Okay, Roma.
So I'm still not very clear. I think I have elements of merging as well as enduring. And I think a secondary pattern, I think, is rigid. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure whether it's merging or enduring. But I think rigid for sure is my secondary pattern.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's that the rigid... For many of us, the rigid is an overlay to protect us from the vulnerability of our neediness in the merging pattern, right? And so I think you're right on track there. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Jeanette, do you want to share anything about this?
I know I'm sensitive and emotional, so I can relate to that. And I know that one of the things that happens to me is I can get ungrounded really quickly if someone is confronting me, because then that's where the confusion sets in for me. So I find it interesting that I had a little bit of each that I saw, that the sensitive, emotional, and also the integrity and dependable also resonated with me as well. So,
yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. The sensitive, emotional really seems to fit with what you've shared and, you know, your kind of that nature. So, you know, when we get into the class in November and we can see each other's physical bodies, we're going to do another piece to this where we'll actually be able to look at the how it's showing up in the physical body type. So it's so much easier in a way when you see the person walk into the room with you to be able to use that additional piece. Although we're working energetically, we don't really even need to see that to already begin to get a sense of their energy. And it shows up in language as we were just, you know, discussing through not only the defense statements, but also our gift statements, our beliefs. Okay, Lori.
Well, I'm enduring with merging, but I can relate to them all, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
So confusing was which one? Interesting.
Well, I think enduring, but I touch into all of them.
Yeah.
Pretty much equally, so I don't.
Well, yeah. So, and again, we're not going to pigeonhole ourselves, but we can just look at, you know, what might be helpful is when I'm in defense to look at what do I need to do or what can I do to take myself out of defense, to take myself out of that pattern. And if I know that confusion is some of my go-to, then what do I need to do to kind of get grounded, to get centered, to come out of my intellect, to come more into my body? You know, even you shared with us about your drumming and your movement, you know, through drumming and things. Those are really grounding exercises for you, grounding opportunities for you. So to know that, to notice that, okay, if I'm confused a lot or if I'm leaving a lot and I need to get grounded before I respond, you know, that can be really helpful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, thanks, Lori. Okay, Gail.
I got the wounding as a controlling. So I definitely have some aggressive. And then also, I mean, there's some crossover, but, and I think the gift is integrity and dependable. So definitely. But I think it also depends on who I'm dealing with. I mean, I don't feel like I'm aggressive at work. So, yeah.
So I would suggest to all of us that if you look at the people who trigger you the most, which are usually family members, right? Our closest family members and friends are the people who trigger us the most. That's where we will really get to the core of what our pattern is. Because, you know, we can bring our gifts out more easily when we're not around the people who know us the most intimately. You know, my teacher says, you know, we hurt the people closest to us the most. And this is why, because it's wired into our neurology. We're less careful with our family members than we are with people outside where the stakes are a little higher and we have to be on our better behavior. So thanks for that, Gail, though. I think you're right on track. Okay, Jenny.
So I was just thinking, you know, the first time when I got exposed to this course, I think that's probably March or April when I took the, you know, what was that module?
That was the awakening.
No, that was in Austin, right?
Yeah.
I think there was another module that was before that. I think it's called Creating an Energy Connection.
Okay. Yeah.
And after that, I went to Austin, spent a few days with you and everyone else. That was an amazing experience. And now, you know, this module. And then I'm looking forward to the November live event again. So I have it's been really amazing. I have learned so much about myself and also have, you know, had this much better understanding of other people's behaviors. And I'm just really looking forward to learn more, to learning more and also applying more. So when it comes to my personal personality patterns, I feel like the rigid pattern, I would say right now at this point, that's probably on the top of the list. And then following that is the compensated merging. And I also have a little bit aggressive pattern. yeah, so that's kind of how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
It might change and shift a little bit down the road. But for now, I think that's kind of the list.
Yeah, good. I think you're probably right. And remember that the compensated merging pattern actually has an aggressive component to it also. Mm-hmm. So that may be part of that, how that's being expressed right now. Yeah. So good. Yeah, lots of growth and change for you. It's just wonderful to see.
It's been wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, Janine.
Yeah, I'm right there, Jenny, because I'm definitely sensitive and very emotional, which has been through this whole course, everything affecting me, and definitely the compensated merging, because there's a lot of the aggressive, there's each one of those, and then the rigid pattern. I'm definitely stubborn and righteous, and listen to me, because mother knows best, right? So, what else are we sharing? I'm sorry. I kind of left there for a minute.
Yeah, that's okay. If you want, you can share about how the course has been for you and what's happened over the course of this 10 weeks for you.
Yeah, it's even more eye-opening. I think it was more traumatic for me. It was very hard on a physical and mental level to accept these things. Because I thought I knew everything already. I thought I knew what there was. And this is a complete level for me after 20 years of therapy, counseling, all these things. But to find something that really, really gets into those core traumas that I hope to become a whole person. And a person that people want to be around me. Because I reflect to the awakening. I mean, I see my attitude then. And how I must have bounced off people, like, you know, I'm looking forward to making new friendships and connect energetically with people on a whole different level.
Yeah, great. You know, it can be, when we first get introduced to this, I'll just say when I first got introduced to this, I just said exactly the same thing you did. I've been in therapy for a long time already, and it was so shocking. It was just shocking. It's like, why haven't I learned this before? You know, like where was this piece from me? You know, and I felt like I had wasted so much time in relationships, you know, screwing up relationships basically until I got this piece. So, you know, the good news, the great news is you have it now. And you maybe don't have it mastered. I mean, I don't have it mastered, you know, but you have it. And so you have a system you can keep going to and evolving and developing. And the other thing I love about this work too, for me, is that it's continually still humbling. And this is part of what I write about in the Exceptional Practitioner ebook, you know, those spiritual qualities are absolutely crucial. They're essential for us to cultivate, to develop that, to be able to really help and be with anyone, because we're holding a frequency when we sit with somebody. So even if we know all these personality patterns, that's great. We have to hold it with spiritual humbleness, because that vibration has to be with us in the room, because that's what's healing. That's what's healing, more than the skills, more than the techniques, more than the knowledge that we, any of us, will have. And that's what heals in the classroom, is that having those two, having this system and then those spiritual underpinnings are really the key ingredients for transformation. So thanks for bringing that up, Janine. Kimberly, anything you want to share on this piece?
Well, definitely my core wounding is the leaving pattern. But it's fun to see that as I heal this, I'm gaining some of the gifts of the other patterns. So I'm more resonating with the gifts of the older patterns now that I've really worked through the leaving and merging wounding that I have. So that's pretty exciting.
That's great. Thank you. Let's scooch over to Sarah before we go down to the next row.
So I thought I knew exactly what I was coming into the class, and now I'm completely confused again, going through the patterns. I feel like there's certain things I strongly identify with, and then I feel like I'm just the complete opposite of these patterns in other ways. So I was thinking, okay, I'm for sure definitely challenger aggressor, and then secondary rigid, because like I can kind of be a bit of extremes. I can be big and wild and free and spontaneous. But then if I'm too reckless, or if I do have a trigger and I tend to explode rather than implode, if that happens, then I turn rigid and in controlling of myself. But I'm like with a challenger aggressor, it's not like a my way or the highway. I'm very sensitive and emotional, and I'm hypersensitive to other people's perceptions of me, or just, and if they think that I'm a bad person, I'll change who I am so that I can find love. So I don't know if that matches with challenger aggressor. So maybe compensated merging. I have no idea.
Yeah. I think you're actually describing your way of expressing through these patterns really accurately. And again, remember, these are just a map. They're not who we are. So we don't have to necessarily fit ourselves into one of these models. We can just notice when they show up and how they show up. Certain, as somebody said, I don't remember who, I think it was Gail, maybe you get triggered by certain people in certain scenarios, in certain situations. You might find more of your rigid pattern, both in the gifts and the wounds, come out in work, in the workplace, and more of the aggressor pattern or challenger defender pattern maybe comes out more with certain family members and not others, you know. So mostly it's, but what I will say is that if we look back to our early childhood development, I think the more of the actual wounding, if we want to say the original wound, shows up more there, how we responded as a child. And it might be easier for those of you who are parents and have kids to actually see it in your own children, especially when they were young kids. You might be able to identify more easily their go-to pattern. So if you think about, you know, or those of you who still have parents alive, you can ask your parents, what kind of kid was I? You know, how would you describe me? And that might be an interesting exercise to find out a little bit. If you have siblings, how would you describe my personality as a kid? So thanks for sharing that, Sarah. Valerie, let's hop up to you there.
Is that me?
Yeah.
I still see mostly rigid and endurer. And it changes based on what's going on. And I can't really pick which one is stronger. It's just, and neither one, if you read through the gifts and the wounds, especially the wounds, not all of them fit. So there's some that are yes, definitely, and others that are no way. Mm-hmm. So it's, and I also see other parts of me and other things. And I'm wondering too, as I've been working on myself, if that's maybe changing some of it as well. So there's still a lot of integration going on, and I'm finding myself observing things differently and understanding myself differently, making a little more space sometimes for the things I see myself doing that I don't like. And also it's been interesting because my mom is 95 and has gone into memory care. And I was just there a couple weeks ago and watching how things happen when your memory starts going and the things that you fall back on. And it made me really glad that I'm working on this now, because I can see how some of the things that you do throughout your life can really come back to haunt you when things start falling apart a little bit. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, it's interesting because I remember Barbara Brennan, when I was at the Barbara Brennan School, said something interesting once, that she was watching her mother, I think it was, going through Alzheimer's. And interestingly enough, Barbara apparently ended up going through Alzheimer's too. But she said that, or no, maybe it was her father. I think it was her father. She said that she saw him regress and relive many incidents from his childhood that had not resolved. That was part of what she actually actively saw him doing, and kind of replaying these events and then reconciling them in some very kind of amazing way. Like, it was really very beautiful how she talked about it, that he was actually healing himself through his illness of Alzheimer's by reliving these childhood events, regressing to his childhood and reliving them, and then, you know, in some way. So I thought it was so beautiful, because it's like we all think, oh, Alzheimer's is this horrible thing. We never, ever want to have it. And of course we wouldn't, but there was something healing that she identified that was happening for him in that situation. So just made me think of that when you shared that, Valerie, that there's, yeah. Jeanette, did you want to jump in?
Well, I kind of relate to that too, because I went something similar with my mom. She passed away in 2013 and she was 94. But I remember the last day that I saw her, and she passed away a couple weeks after that. I think I was wanting to get the answers that I always wanted to receive from her, or maybe even me to just hear something coming from her. But there was one point when I was leaving and walking out the door, and our eyes made contact. And there were no words, and there was just simple silence of pure souls touching each other. So all the beliefs that I had and personality traits that I had, and all the beliefs that she had and personality traits that she had, were literally gone. And we saw each other's soul. Mm. And that's all I needed. And that was all, everything went away from that point on. So it was very powerful for me at that time.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Something that lives in us that's way beyond our intellect. Yeah. Sarah, do you want to say anything before you have to dash off?
Oh, I couldn't unmute. I was saying thank you to everyone. This was awesome. And while I feel like I'm starting to get to know myself a little bit better, even though I don't quite have it all figured out, which is fine. But I think for the first time, instead of judging and trying to control and get rigid about parts of my personality that I don't understand, and I don't know how to deal with, I feel like I have more appreciation for it. And I have some foundational tools to accept the parts of that that are gifts, and kind of heal the parts of that are just like cyclical and just responsive, whatever. So I'm coming to the class in November, and I'm looking forward to diving in more. So great. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Laura.
Great. You're so welcome. I can't wait to see you in November. That's great.
Bye, y'all. Okay.
Bye. Okay. Where did we leave off? So Amy, how about you?
Well, this rigid pattern for some reason just brings up a lot of body feelings for me, just like listening to it. Like I'm itchy. I'm like super tired. I kept on yawning, and my back hurts so bad. I put this, it's like a, little brace. So for some reason, the reason why I have a problem with the rigid pattern is because most of my extended family and my, like the generational, like my grandparents, they were all rigid. So just like listening to it, it just felt really heavy and not very comfortable for me. And for me, I identify with the leaving pattern, of course, and the enduring pattern more so than the merging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting, too, that, you know, as you talked about your family and having that rigid background, and then there's your back hurting, you know, and kind of somaticizing that in your system and noticing that, it's great awareness that you kind of were able to put those two pieces together. Just to notice that in your system. Yeah. And that overlay, that's the overlay for your leaving pattern, which is how you survived. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Okay. Martha.
Hello. Yes, I don't know if y'all have ever seen the movie Divergent. It's a science fiction movie where people are like put into different factions based on a test that they go with their personality. I feel like I'm the Divergent one, the main character, where I'm a summation of all those personalities. It's hard to put me in one, but then, you know, the question is, how do you respond or react when you become defensive? And then I think there's, should be only one answer for all of us, because you can't like do all of them at once. But so I'm more creative and flexible and perceptive. I try to figure out the situation. Sometimes it's not a right away reaction, because I like to think about it and resolve. But then isn't that the leaving pattern, which is not me? That's why I say I'm divergent. Because I've had to, going through trauma with two marriages and losing a child, and then working in a man's world in sales, I had to learn some survival skills. So there's a lot of personal development and all that. And so I think that I've had to manage a lot of gifts, because I've been in so many different situations and worked with so many different people, that, you know, you have to like learn to be perceptive if you're not. You have to learn to be flexible and creative. And you have to be, but then the other side of me, where the wound is, and I don't know that there was a wound that created it. It's just that I'm stubborn, you know, I want to get my way, because I know I'm right about things. When I have a vision about something, you know, I'm going to stand my ground and really hold on to it. So that's why I don't know if I really fit into a pattern. I use the patterns to my advantage. And I can, you know, in terms of wounds, as a very spiritual person, I feel like I've kind of like worked on healing wounds and with forgiveness and trying to be more understanding of others and loving people. So, but this class has been wonderful, because I think it's made me more sensitive to really the diversity of the wounds that people carry, and that I can be even more understanding and compassionate toward them and not be so quick to come up with an answer, but just listen better and feel for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I mean, you know, I love your resiliency, you know, and also it's interesting that the movie was called Divergence, and the word that comes to my mind as I listen to you is diversity, right? There's a lot of diversity that you have, which is, from my perspective, a strong challenger defender gift, right? And so so there's also a tendency to minimize our traumas when we have the challenger defender gift. So that's just and I'm not trying to pigeonhole you in any way. I'm just, those are just some thoughts that came to my mind as I listened to you. Because I feel in you, I feel this really natural leadership kind of quality about you. Will you become a teacher of martial arts after you get your...
No. I tried substituting for a while, and I did not like it at all just because of the system. But I've been a teacher in some degrees. I mean, I was a Girl Scout leader. I take charge every, I've been a volunteer and been in charge of many things. I've done seminars. So yeah, I'm all about education, for people. But in terms of becoming a teacher, I mean, I feel like what we're doing for those of us that are students with Dr. Rita Marie, you know, we are teachers because we're educating the world. But what I did was I didn't want to do it. And I thought, well, it'd be really healthy to do this just to evaluate things. And I started making a list of all the traumas or things that were impactful in my life. And I haven't finished it yet, but I was going to try to like tie it to the different patterns, you know, with when those traumas occurred, try to do it chronologically. But I was shocked to find out how much change I've had to go through. And so, in looking at that, that was the pattern there that, oh, we had to move. Oh, we had to move again. And, or I had to change schools. And those were the things that really threw me off, that I had, those were wounds for me that weren't, you know, they were because of my parents, but it was indirect because of my parents.
Right.
Because it put me in different, in different life circles.
Yeah. Yeah. So each of our scenarios teach us certain coping mechanisms, right? Which is great. And what's interesting is what becomes kind of our go-tos for coping mechanisms. Why do we use one certain, aspect rather than another one? You know, like, I mean, I have a, when you think about, well, another interesting thing to do is to look at siblings that you grew up with, because this is another way we can kind of distinguish, okay, if they had the same circumstances I had, but they evolved, what pattern did they use as their go-to? And how am I different from that? You know, like when I think about my sister, she's very much an enduring pattern person, much more than me, as I'm more the merging pattern, you know, with a challenger defender overlay perhaps, but definitely more the merging pattern. She's very much the enduring pattern, but yet we grew up in the same household around the same time.
I looked at my brother once and said, I can't believe we have the same parents.
Yeah.
Where were you when they were instructing us on this?
Exactly. And this is another way that can kind of be helpful for us to hone in on what's really distinctly our pattern, our go-tos. So that's great, Martha. Thank you for that. Sure. Okay. Angelica.
Well, I came to this work.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Christina, do you have to leave? Oh, did she just go? She waved off. Okay, we lost her. That's all right. All right. Go ahead, Angelica.
I came to the work a year ago by working with one of Laura's trained practitioners. And then since starting the education and the work since January of this year, yeah, a lot has changed. A lot has changed. But I will say that I thought that I would, I don't know what I thought. I thought I would be like more awakened, or that I'd be more in control of my patterns and my energy than I am now, if that makes sense. But like, I do have massive awareness. So when I say so much has changed, like if I don't, like, I honestly don't know what would have happened if I hadn't met my healer and been aware of managing my energy or being aware, you know, like I just don't know what would have happened. I can't see how I could have continued going the way I was in my life with the stress. And so I'm humbled by the fact that I've made such good awareness, but also that there's so much more to do. So I feel like I can actually manage my energy and work with it more.
That's great. You know, it takes time, Angelica, and I think you're not alone. Anybody else relate to her? Like, as far as the impatience, like, I want to be further along than what I am. Can you see all these hands? Can you keep your hands up for just a minute, those of you who put your hands up? Okay. You're not alone. How about that? Yeah, we are all impatient to want to be further down the road than we are. But, you know, I'll never forget this. I had a student said to me once, you can't shout a flower into blooming. And I never forgot that. It was a beautiful statement.
I'm going to write that down.
Shout a flower into blooming. And so that's what we have to do here, is to just keep fertilizing. And, you know, you're coming in November, which is great. And that, I mean, you know, in so many ways, this course, even this course over Zoom, and then the course, the Awakening course, and then the one in November, that's the fast track. I mean, you can't go much faster than what these courses take you. So the rest of the time is just, you know, very important to give yourself the time to integrate, to let it evolve, to let things take their natural time and timing. And, you know, it will continue to grow and evolve for you. I mean, the great grace of all of this is that you found this, because it works really effectively. And, you know, and you're young, and you found it a lot younger than most of us on the call. You're probably the youngest one here. So you have that advantage also. You've got your whole life ahead of you to apply what you're learning here, which is really awesome.
Yeah. No, I'm incredibly grateful. Really, I am. Wanted to share something. It's left my, I forgot, but, this is what I wanted to share, was that I did meet with my healer for last week, and we hadn't done any sessions together since January, since I started pretty much studying with Laura. And it was really cool to witness my own change and evolution just in my sacred space I share with her. That was like my reference point for seeing how much I have changed. So that was really, really cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that. Thanks for sharing that. Okay, Ritu.
I'm so sorry. I'm a bit sleepy right now. Okay.
Are you still in India?
Yeah, I am, and it's almost 11 p.m. here now.
Yeah.
So, as far as my pattern, of course, like, a compensated merging, right? And what the course has given me is, like, I knew a little bit of myself, but I didn't know all the terms. I didn't know what to call things. And so it's put names, to my feelings, basically. And I learned so much, like, about myself. And one of the things that I remember, that when I was struggling in my marriage, in my relationship with my husband, like, I would, like, literally, like, call out and pray to God, saying that, oh my God, like, I've done everything that I know that I could do to fix this, but I wish someone can give me, like a toolkit, like, you know, okay, if this happens, then do this, if this problem comes, then do this, something of that sort. Like, I used to ask for that, and none of it came through. And then this is, you know, through this course, this is how it has come to me. And probably this is the perfect timing. So like, knowing all these personality patterns, and then, you know, the skills, what you can do to heal them, it's really wonderful. And beyond the skills, I think I got present to how to adjust to God's plan versus my own plan. And I think that's very healing for me, because I realized that, like, I had to come to India, and I was taking this course while I was here, and I was around so many people, like my own family members, like from my childhood, and just noticing their own patterns, observing myself, and doing the work as I'm learning. So I was able to like practice a lot of stuff as well beyond learning the theory. So like looking at my own self, like my own overwhelms, like when like there is a deviation from my plan, like I'm not able to see the big picture, but I got present to that, that, okay, you know, this is just my plan, but you know, why it was put in, like I had to take this course in the nights when I'm like really tired, the timing is really off, but I think the healing has to happen in this way for me. So that was God's plan. And so I think everything is has been very wonderful. And the body mind treatments that I'm doing that added to it. And I realized that there is so much to do. Like this is just the beginning. Like basically what I've started learning is just the beginning. And I just feel like this is going to be more in depth in the future. So that's what I got out of this.
Great. Thank you, Ritu. It's great. And I appreciate your commitment from India at this late hour for you. It's wonderful. Okay, let's see. Let's hop down to Valerie and then we'll get Jill and Chris in here.
Okay, there we go. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I guess I'm still trying to figure everything out. I know for sure that I'm not, I don't exhibit the leaving pattern. And I also know for sure that I have a lot of the merging pattern in me. In fact, when you said to ask your parents or your siblings, what kind of a child you were, I don't even have to ask them. I know they tell me all the time that I was constantly so sensitive and I would cry over everything and very emotional. And I like to have a lot of recognition, not necessarily neediness in the relationship, but neediness in kind of attention. Like I like to have the attention, and I also have some trouble facing confrontation, but I've worked on that lots over the years and I don't really exhibit that, you know, I don't just display that anymore, but it has been an issue for me in the past. So definitely looking at merging pattern, but then I took notes. I know you said not to, but I took notes of all the different statements and everything. And I'm going through them and I'm thinking, wow, well, I say this in the challenger defender. That sounds just like me. And oh, the rigid. Yeah, I have something there that I would say that too. And the enduring. Oh yeah, I could see this bit as well. So I definitely call upon several of the different patterns in different ways. Like in the challenger defender, definitely I consider myself to have a lot of energy and a leader, and at times I can get controlling, but I'm not manipulative. And maybe that's because of the sensitivity that I have through merging, that I don't need, you know, I don't want to manipulate somebody like that, but I will get aggressive sometimes when I'm angry about something. And the rigid piece as well from last week's call, I definitely have a lot of that, especially the integrity and the dependable and the beauty. And there's a lot there as well. So I'm still trying to kind of put it all together and figure it out. Mm-hmm. Definitely I find myself observing other people now more and thinking about, you know, what is their, how are they holding themselves and what are the statements that they're saying? And I'm trying to figure out now the patterns of other people, and I'm envisioning them as little children. Especially my boss was sitting across my desk the other day and I was just watching him and just imagining him as a little 5-year-old. So I have a little bit more awareness of other people and their patterns, although that's still developing, as you know, as I join this class, you know, 2/3 of the way through. So
yeah.
I'm really still learning and trying to recognize that everything in myself and in others.
Yeah, that's great. I love what you're doing, and I love how you've progressed so far. And, you know, you're really starting to get a sense of how this can work and how it benefits. And I love that you were looking at your boss like the five-year-old and noticing that developmental stage, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's, and just like Ritu was saying, you know, these are skills that we're learning and it takes time. And what's great is that that we're just inviting. The other thing is that it invites a different way of responding, which is so freeing to and with other people, instead of having to retract or get defensive or pull away or break off a connection or lose a client because we don't know how to deal with them or how to respond to them or how to give them a boundary that they might need that might be helpful for them. And that's what's so great about the work. So, and we'll go further with this. I hope you can come to the November training. That would be really incredibly catapulting for you for this work. So something we can think about. And you too, Gail. I'm hoping we can see you both there. So, yeah. Okay. Jill.
Hi. I think that I'm, again, like a lot of others, I can see myself doing a little bit of each pattern, but I think I'm probably merging in rigid. I guess I feel like I don't know if I'm making any progress. I thought for a while I was, and I don't know, lately it feels like I'm going into the negatives of each of those patterns instead of you know, focusing on the gifts. And so I think that's one of my goals after, you know, now that the class is going to be done, is just to relook at the patterns and focus on what, you know, positive thing of that gift, of that pattern can I do moving forward.
Great.
So,
you know, I thanks for bringing that up. And I know that one of the things that happens, it's sort of like when we open this door of awareness, of consciousness, then we have, it's like the garden is in front of us, and we have these options and we have these opportunities, and we start walking down the path. And then, like any growth process, right, there's the stage of expansion and then a stage of what's called stasis, where we stabilize, and then contraction, where we pull everything in to make it our own, and then another is followed by another state of expansion. So it goes expansion, stasis, contraction, stasis, expansion, stasis, contraction, stasis. And you may be in one of those stages. If you feel like you're regressing and pulling back, then I would encourage you to reach out and get some more individual support. And that's for everybody, really. Like, you know, we kind of, one of the traps, especially for the rigid structure, is, well, okay, I've learned it. I should know how to do it now. I should just do it. And we stop giving support to ourselves, much needed support. And it's very easy, especially for the rigid, to do that. I expect myself to know how to do this now. I know this material. I should be doing it. I shoulding all over myself. And so I would just encourage you to, you know, maybe reach out and get some more support with that. And, you know, we've got a great group here, too, that can continue to be a part of that support team for you. Okay.
Yeah, so, I think I just, I'm trying not to spend money. I'm planning to come to, you know, Shine and to November. And so I pulled back as far as reaching out to, you know, spend money with someone. And I guess I kind of don't know, you know, how to do that reaching in a way to, like, I mean, I think everyone here in this group is amazing. And yet I don't know really what to do next in a way.
Okay, so if anybody is open to connecting with Jill, please let her know in the chat and give her your contact information. So I just helped you out with that one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Chris.
Yeah, so I spent the last week with my family. I'm still here now. And what I'm seeing really clearly is my tendency for the leaving pattern. Not that really anything is happening, but just like, I just need, you know, we're Italian, so we sit around the table like for hours and hours. And, it's like, I just have to like get up every once in a while and just like go to my room for 2 minutes or 5 minutes, or it's just like, I just need a break from everything. And I'm just kind of seeing that that's happening a lot. Also noticing the rigid pattern in pretty much everybody in my family. And I have some of the rigid pattern also, but in comparison to everyone else, I'm like, realize I'm not that rigid compared to like my other family members. So anyway, it's just been really interesting.
I love it that you were able to recognize your need to break away for a few minutes, you know, and that you're giving yourself that. That's great. That's just beautiful. And it's true. It's just another kind of reaffirmation that lots of rigid family members spawn rigid children. And so it sounds like you've got some of that there too.
For sure.
So I want to give us an opportunity. We've not got a lot of time left, but I'd like to give us about 10 minutes to go into our breakout group so we can have some time to do closure with a breakout group that you've been working with. So Kimberly is going to help us with that today.
Laura, can you make me a host, co-host, so I can do a breakout room?
I don't know, because it's not on my thing. I don't see the option for that. Maybe I'm missing it, speaker view. I don't think I have that option. So we can't do breakout groups then, huh?
I can't create them, though.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't even see that option for me. So that's all right. We've taken most of the time as a big group anyway. So I'm sorry about that. I wanted to give us time to do disclosure in our breakout integration groups, but we have about 15 more minutes. So I would just like to open it up either for questions or any further sharing from people about our closing session today. So we have some free time here. Open time, unstructured time. Yeah, Angelica.
I'll just start with a really basic question. I acknowledge that I'm so mind-centered, and I let my mind over eclipse my heart. And I want to know, like, it's so hard, like, I get frustrated when I listen to meditation and spiritual practice, like, just feel into your heart space. And I'm like, but I don't even know how to do that. So it's like, it feels like they're telling me to get to the destination when I don't even know the first step.
Yeah. Okay. So thanks for sharing that. And you know, what we could do is, if you want and you're open to it, is maybe just do a few minutes of a little demo around that with you. How's that sound?
Sure.
Okay. Everybody else okay with that? Okay. So it's a great question, and I'm sure you're not alone in it. So I think the first place we have to start is with the energy of what you were just describing as, you know, feel into my heart, you know, like everybody says, like, tell me about that feeling that came up as you were talking about it.
Yeah. My tolerance for, it's funny. Sometimes I get impatient with really heart-centered spiritual people. And I know that I get impatient because it's a part of myself that I'm disowning and rejecting. So I know that's why I judge them. Mm-hmm. But so that's where that energy was. It's judging them. It's being annoyed and intolerant and impatient.
Can you let that intolerant, judgmental energy just speak for a minute, uncensored? Uncensored, like let her rip. Like, what does that voice want to say about those spiritual people out there? There's deep in your heart, people.
It's like, it's just chatter. It's like, tell me the facts. Tell me how things work. Like, appeal to my intellect. I don't get your language. So I just want to go do something else. I want to go do something else because this is a waste of my time, not understanding your language.
Yeah. And I feel what? This is a waste of my time. I don't understand your language. And I feel
annoyed.
Yeah, I feel annoyed. Mm-hmm. What else do you feel?
Defeated.
Huh?
Defeated.
I feel, yeah, defeated.
Like there's just some spiritual gift I don't have, and it's frustrating that I keep seeing that reflected over and over, and I'm so... So yeah, it's like, it's really just like my judgment of myself being projected onto them. I'm like, I'm frustrated with myself that I'm so in my head, and I keep feeling like I'm missing something in my heart. I feel like I'm missing something of my essence because I'm so up here.
What's showing up as you talk about that? I'm missing something from my heart. I'm missing something from my essence. I feel defeated. I feel frustrated.
I have this nagging feeling every day that I keep doing things that I think are right and that I ought to do versus like what I actually truly want to do.
Which is,
for example, I'll give you one. Like when I'm alone, I'm a lot better at just relaxing into what I want to do, like wearing what I want, not really caring about the whole fixing myself to look presentable. But when I'm around people, I get really tense and I'm like, oh, I got to fix myself. I should look appropriate. I should dress a certain way when I'm with my family. Otherwise they're going to they're going to judge me. Or so it's like, it depends on the environment I'm in and the community I'm in. But I just feel like I keep going away from shying away from my own essence and my authenticity just to like adhere to the rules or something. Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't follow the rules, if I don't make myself look good, then what?
People will laugh at me. They won't want to hang out with me.
Yeah. And if they don't want to hang out with you and if they laugh at you, then what?
Then, yeah, I'm alone and an observer of everybody else having a good time.
And what's that like to be alone and to be an observer of everybody else having a good time?
Well, I think like not having enough connection in life is, I think, but I know that when I don't have enough connection in my life, I feel just depressed, existential terror.
Yeah. Tell me more about the terror, Angelica.
Like, what is the, why am I, yeah, like, what's the purpose of my existence if I,
what's the feeling of the terror? What's it feel like to feel terror?
Gosh.
Take your time. You don't have to figure that out. Just notice, you took a big exhale when I asked you that. You know, what's present right now, even as we're having this conversation about it?
When the terror is of like the vast unknown, like if you don't like, for example, in our society, if you don't find partner with somebody, like in, you know, a lifelong partnership, then you suffer this singleness and this aloneness. So that's like a terror, a source of terror that feels like just, oh my God, like going basically like it feels like a big, vast universe, a big black, vast universe. And I don't understand my place in it.
Yeah. Can you just keep your eyes closed for a moment? Mm. Be in that black, vast universe. It's vast. It's black. here you are, you're alone, you're single. And you're in this vast black universe. Tell me what you're noticing about this as we're kind of looking at it.
Yeah, it feels like, I don't know. I don't even know. This is my part of the problem. I don't really know what I feel.
It's okay to not know. Just notice what it's like. Jill, can you put yourself back on mute? I think we're getting a lot of ambient noise there.
It doesn't feel scary per se.
Okay.
I guess what I'm feeling is, I'm feeling it really deep in here, like in my sternum. Like when I trying to picture that being in that big black universe alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty interesting that you just said it doesn't feel scary. It actually doesn't feel scary here. And you're feeling it in your sternum.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Yeah, there's like no, my heart rate's calm. Like, yeah. It doesn't.
Yeah, it's okay if there's not words for it. This is an experience, right? And you're feeling it in your sternum, and it's actually not scary. Yeah. And we can't put words to it. And that's okay. It's just kind of hanging out in it.
Yeah.
And finding out that it's actually not scary here. Who knew?
Right. And I think I know that deep down, but just my culture and my conditioning, it instills a lot of fear in a person about the aloneness of being in the universe, you know, kind of feeling, you know.
Yeah, okay. So can you just take one of those people that is judgmental of that and kind of imagine them staying connected to this feeling and around your sternum of this vastness. And now just imagine, let's bring that person into some conscious placement around you for a minute. And holding this okayness of this experience, bringing them with you, and letting them know internally or silently or just, you know, however you want to do it, that this is okay for you to have this. And be relaxed. And when you can, I know they're still getting that ambient noise. I don't know where it's coming from.
It might be from around me, but...
Okay, that's all right. So how are you doing right now? What are you noticing from that? It's a nice breath you just took there.
I'm pleasantly surprised. When I went to the worst case scenario, I'm surprised at how I felt. It didn't feel like my usual, like, constriction and tension. It just felt like, oh, there's something powerful in here, and I don't know how to describe it, but it's not scary, and it doesn't feel like trauma. So that was interesting.
Yeah, nice. So this is getting to know this vast black universe space, right? And what's your heart like right now? What are you feeling in your heart center right now?
Calm.
Okay.
It's like it has a strong, steady heartbeat. Calm. Yeah. Not tense.
Okay. And you said when we started out, you wanted your heart to feel open.
Mm-hmm.
How is it right now?
I'm more aware of it now than I was a few moments ago. So yeah, it has much more sensation.
Mm, great. Well, thank you, Angelica, for your willingness to be a demo for us with that. And this is actually what you guys are going to learn how to do in November, what we just did here. And it looks pretty simple on the outside, but there's a lot of internal experience that Angelica was having. So it's a subtle what happens, but it's actually very real and palpable when you're on the receiving end of this. And so this is the process of this transpersonal counseling that is going to happen in the November class. So thank you for doing that with us.
Thank you. That was really cool.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any comments or questions or anything else then before we just have about 5 more minutes? So any feedback for Angelica about that?
Well, I was just going to say that I think this is something that everyone deals with at some point, regardless of our personality pattern or, you know, what we go to. I think that if we're disconnecting from our authentic self, that's when we feel it more. Would you say that's correct, Laura?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I like that you brought that point out, Jill, because I think that existential kind of terror, we also all share that at some point we need to enter into that experience to be able to integrate more fully. And you did that beautifully just now. And that will be like what Rita was saying earlier. It's a skill, right? We're practicing these skills. It's not necessarily that we do it just once. We might need to do it more than once. Okay. Anything else?
Well, I just wanted to say that, Angelica, I really appreciated, even though it was a topic that might not have been easy, the clarity of the words that you were using, the way that you were expressing yourself to me was just beautiful. And in those words, I got a sense of a connection that you were having with yourself, but your ability to express what you were experiencing, I found to be rather eloquent. Yeah, and I just wanted to say I appreciated listening to your expression and your session. Thank you.
Yeah, and that was really masterful because that's a pre-verbal wounded state that she was going into, that you were going into, Angelica. So it was quite masterful. Did we lose her just now? I don't know. Yeah, Jeanette, go ahead.
Angelica, I saw such a shift in you when you were doing this work, and I saw you feel your heart. And when you felt your heart, then you became balanced, not just in here, but your whole body started to connect. And I immediately saw that once you identified where that bass was in your body, I saw a shift. So that I thought it was beautiful work.
Laura, when I want to like drop into that more with myself, like, would you recommend I kind of take myself through that, or, cause that's what I'd really like to do, to be able to exercise a little more so I can get comfortable.
Absolutely. And I think that here's the piece that many of us miss or negate, which is we have to start with the quote negative feelings first, right? You started out with, I don't like those people that, you know, they tell me that I should be all spiritual. And we have to like embody that energy that we call negative. We have to give ourselves permission to enter into that because there's so much aliveness and charge in it, right? And so once we explore that part, which is authentically our experience, then we can begin to soften. Then we can begin to direct it in a way that would feel that we want to feel more. I want to feel my heart open, but I really feel petty on top of it. And I feel judgmental and I feel like I'm being judged and I don't like those people and blah, blah, blah. Like both are true. Right? So we can't negate that not as pretty part of ourselves. And once we start to do that, then it's so much easier to take that energy and begin to open the heart. So good job. Yeah. Do that on your own. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So let's just do, I mean, we're at our time now. So I would love to just end with a closing word even. And Kimberly, I know you've got to dash quickly. So do you want to just start out with anything or any closing comment that you want to say, Kimberly, before you go?
Oh, I'm just so grateful for all the beautiful and authentic sharing. It's such an honor for me to be involved with this process and this group, and I'm just so grateful. So thank you, everyone. I've enjoyed it so much. So thank you all.
Thank you, Kimberly, for being such a great contributor to it all for us. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, closing word, Janine.
I'm not sure. I hope to connect on a different level with people in November.
Great. Thank you. Valerie?
I'm looking forward to November.
Okay. Other Valerie?
Thankful.
Great. Thank you. Lori?
Speechless.
Thank you. Ritu.
Gratitude.
Thank you. Angelica.
Inspired.
Thank you. Martha.
Can't do it in one word, but I don't usually put myself out there in these kind of community situations unless I'm close to you or you're, you know, somebody I trust. So it's been a really good experience for me to be able to, I guess, let go would be the word. Let go and try.
Thank you, Martha. Okay. Jill.
I'm thankful for the love and support and excited to see everyone in November.
Thank you. Amy.
So I just feel like transformation. This has helped me transform myself to a certain extent, but I still haven't arrived. And I look forward to November to meet everybody. And thank you. I feel honored to bear witness to everybody's sharing.
Yeah. Thank you. And by the way, Amy, Valerie, Gail, if you all are going to join us in November, today is the last day for the $400 discount to register for the $400 discount. And Martha, too, if you're planning on it. So keep that in mind, okay? Tonight at midnight, last chance. Okay, Gail.
I've never been involved in anything like this, a whole group of women talking about their feelings. So I'm going to miss it. And it's been a very interesting,
Yeah. Well, please come back on those two Mondays and stay connected with us. Stay connected for yourself, too, to keep growing in this way. So it's been great to have you on board. Okay, Jenny.
I remember back in May when we were all in Austin, even though I hadn't learned as much, but I already felt this could be life-changing. And I continue to feel more and more that way and really looking forward to learning and, you know, practicing more.
Thank you, Jenny. Valerie, anything else? Other Valerie?
No.
Okay. Carol.
Feeling a lot of gratitude for
just sharing with everyone, and just the exchange that's transpired. It's been both educational and, you know, my mind's been enjoying it, but also my heart's been really enjoying it and appreciating it. So it was a nice balance.
Thank you. Okay, Roma.
Thoughtful and thankful.
Great. Thank you. Jeanette.
I'm with Carol. A lot of gratitude. Feel really balanced, and it's very cool to have met all of you. All of you. So
beautiful. All right. So if anybody has any questions about November, feel free to stay on. I'll stay on a few minutes more for you. And otherwise, I thank you all so much. I'm so moved. I feel really touched by everything today, and appreciate, Angelica, your demo with us. And I'll look forward to seeing you guys on September 23rd, if not sooner. And then also at Shine, hopefully. And in November. So take care, everybody. Lots of love to all of you. I've been honored to be with you on this journey. See you soon.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Hi, Laura. I just want to double check. You know, I emailed you about the first night on November the 1st.
Yes.
So that is required. Everybody needs to attend the introductory session.
That's right. The class starts that night. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. All right. You need to come in on Friday, and class will start Friday night. Yeah.
Okay. I'll be there the day before. Right. Otherwise, I don't think I can find a flight that can actually get there on time on that Friday. Yeah.
You'll enjoy it here. It's beautiful. The property is gorgeous. There's
oh yeah, I was there in May, so yeah. I
that's
loved
right.
it.
That's right. You've been.
I loved it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really lovely. You'll have a. It'll be nice to actually. It's nice to give yourself time to land also and get grounded and settled and you know rested before we start. So good.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Any other questions, anybody, about November?
No, I guess I have to.
I'm going to be sending an email out tomorrow to everybody with details, with registration details. Yeah. Anything else?
No, so we didn't get the email yet?
That'll come tomorrow. I wanted to wait until after the registration, the early registration deadline, which ends tonight. So, yeah, but you'll get it tomorrow. You're already on board, Janine, so you don't have to worry about that.
There's no other question. I have a quick question from last
week. Sure.
Ask now.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the word you had us, because I didn't watch the replay. When we look outside, we say everything is safe, everything is perfect, it's just the way it's supposed to be.
I believe I have it on the homework itself. I believe everything is in perfect order, something like that.
Okay, I'll have to check.
That. I think it should be written on the actual homework assignment, that affirmation. But I think it was something like everything is in perfect order and exactly as it should be.
Yeah, it works very well.
That Good. Is a big one. Good. You can accept that. Just like with Angelica, what she was about, I remember like a shift of having a different perspective on something that helps smooth stuff out.
Yes.
It's really interesting how this all works. And whenever I go down and do a deep dive, I know it's better back up on the surface, but
yeah,
sometimes it's went back.
Yeah, yeah. Riku, and any questions that you have?
Laura, I just wanted to ask about the September. So in your email earlier, you said there were four sessions, right, before the November? Or is it just two?
We're just going to do two free, offer them for free to everybody and just do two.
Okay.
Okay. On those two.
Yeah, because when I joined the meeting today, you were kind of going over, so I missed some of it. So.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, September 23rd and October 14th, but I will email everybody as well. Will you be back by then?
I'm actually getting back on October 1st, so I still have one more month here.
Okay.
And this, and you said the time was what, 8 a.m. Central?
It's going to be 7 p.m. Central time. So whatever time that was, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually 5:30 a.m. India time. So.
Oh my. Okay.
So yeah, so I mean, is it okay if I would just join on October 14th, not the September 23rd one?
Yeah, these are optional. These are just okay. These are optional times to just help people stay connected.
Okay, because yeah, I'll be back by then, like, so I'll be in the same time zone.
Yeah, yeah, good, good, good. And I'll be in India, actually, for the October 1st. Kimberly's going to lead that session.
Okay, okay.
Amy, did you have any questions? Because I don't think you're registered yet. I don't know if she's still on. We're seeing her name, but I'm not hearing her. Okay. Any other questions?
Sorry, for these, do we need to let you know or we can just join? Like, how is it going?
I'm requesting an RSVP on these two free sessions. Okay. Yeah. And I'll send you an email so that you can actually do that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
Thanks, Laura. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Thank you, too. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Laura. It was amazing. Thank you for all the work you did with us.
Lots of love. So happy to do it. Take care, everybody.
Bye. Janine, I'll find you on Facebook.
Okay.
Okay. Great. See ya.
Bye.